What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Oh, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
I think we are, as a matter of fact. Fist pumping here on the Fan Cam for the final hour, Thirsty Thursday edition. Sean and RJ, great to have you in. Sean and RJ back next week. We have the Choppy Senior funeral today that Bobby will be attending and perhaps rolling on the Choppy speech. So looking forward to some of those clips for tomorrow's program.
It's a little bit like when we're setting that up, like, we'll have the Choppy funeral, which Bobby will be in attendance for. It does sound like the Schottenheimer press conference or something a little bit.
Bobby's covering.
It does sound a little trivial. It is a sad thing.
Very, very sad event. But Bobby is on the beat, and we certainly look forward to that. Couple of housekeeping notes. We do have a college baseball ticket giveaway coming up this hour, so stay ready for that. 877-881-1053. And Saturday, February 15th, that's coming up very soon, ladies and gentlemen. This Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., it'll be myself, Eric Chiafalo, with Brian Broaddus and Zach Wolchuk doing a live Love of the Star podcast from the brand-new Hurtado Barbecue location in Dallas. That's 900 South Harwood Street. It's their grand opening fan appearance. We cannot wait to see you there, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday at Hurtado in Dallas. Cannot wait to see you. Eat, drink, and talk some ball. So it's going to be fantastic. Okay, college football kegger, man. We got some college football news going around right now. We start with former Patriots defensive coordinator, Mr. Matt Patricia, making the leap. He's doing the Belichick thing. I love that Belichick was like, nah, I don't want you to be my defensive coordinator at Chapel Hill, but I'll write you a nice letter of recommendation when the Buckeyes come calling. And that's exactly what happened. The Buckeyes are going to be hiring former Belichick disciple and former Patriots defensive guy. Actually, I can't even just say defensive guy because a historically awful coaching decision where Patricia and Joe Judge were co-offensive coordinators. Two guys that never coached that side of the ball. Defensive coach in Patricia and special teams guy in Joe Judge. And they, for a year, were running the offense for the Patriots.
You know,
absolutely a disaster. But now it's going to Ohio State.
Yeah, and look, I mean, we get told all the time here on the show that we all look too similar. They're always like, it's the three of you in beards and hats and hoodies. Like, you guys all look like you could be brothers. There's a little bit of some similarity here with Ryan Day and Matt Patricia. Just dark beards, dark hair. One of them will have a pencil in their ear, but very similar. I always love these hires. Like, I was saying this yesterday. It's always been Ohio against the world, Ryan Day. I've always said I'm always going to be in favor of giving somebody a rehab job. So if you're telling me, like, all right, Matt Patricia, you flamed out and you were toxic as a head coach and you need to rebuild your image, well, I bet I'm going to get you on your best behavior doing a job that we've already seen you can do, that you're a defensive coordinator and you're trying to rehab your image, so you're here to learn things and you're going to be a little more humble. I think hiring Ken Dorsey with the Cowboys is great. I think hiring Matt Eberflus with the Cowboys is great. When they hired Dan Quinn, great. You're trying to rehab your image. You're trying to do like those are always the right hires. Go find somebody who was once the hot shot, is now got a little bit of the shine off of them from the promotion that they got, didn't go the way it was planned, and now they have to settle back in on the job that they were always really good at and rehab their image. I think those are always the perfect hires. Alabama's done it for years. Saban used to do that with offensive coordinators. Steve Sarkisian, Bill O'Brien, Lane Kiffin. You've done it with a lot of different people. Ohio State's starting to do that. They did it with Chip Kelly. They're doing it with Matt Patricia now. I think it's brilliant to approach it that way.
Well, here is definitely not fake Matt Patricia talking about his excitement taking over the Ohio State defense.
This is a great day for me. It's also a great day for Michigan. With this hire, they just won their fifth straight against Ohio State. I chew on pencils on the sidelines because they won't let me chew on brisket. A lot of people are asking if I used this pencil to sign my contract. No, I did not. I used the same Sharpie Ryan Day uses to color in his beard. But seriously, me and Ryan Day have a lot in common. Notably, Ozempic. I look like a hobo that lives in a train car and subsists solely on cold cans of SpaghettiOs and stale bread. But it's just my way of fitting in with the Ohio State fan base. I know everyone is wondering if I'll be able to beat Michigan. I'd just like to remind you that I have a great track record of ruining teams in Michigan. I did a great job ruining the Lions. But, yeah.
He's fired up, man.
That's all. I did not hear the fake Matt Patricia before you played it. I was very concerned because I know some of the fake Jerry and Schottenheimer that you guys were playing.
They're a little heavy-handed.
Sean was stunned you guys were playing them in the afternoon.
I was a bit stunned myself.
What's your point?
I came across some of those AI Jerrys and Stevens and Shotties and was like, man, that is fantastic, but I don't know if we should play this. And then they popped up on G-Bag of the Day, and I was like, thank you, Lucius. Dude, bravo to you, man.
I feel like we've got to get really good. You and I got to get good at the AI thing like that. Because I feel like we could write some bomb scripts for some of these.
I knew you guys were going to love the coloring, the Ryan Day beard.
That's good.
You guys have championed that for a while.
Because, that's clearly beard dye, right?
It seems pretty obvious.
It's got to be.
Yeah. Now, there's also, speaking of the Belichick connections in college football right now, you have Patricia going to be the DC with Ohio State. Also saw that Bill Belichick offered a full scholarship to LeGarrette Blount Jr., to play at North Carolina. LeGarrette Blount, of course, won two Super Bowls with Belichick and the Patriots. So I wonder if this is going to be a power back situation right now.
One of the first things that got me in trouble years ago, LeGarrette Blount got me in trouble. So actually, it was myself. It was my own dumb mouth. Randy Gregory, who I became friends with and is an awesome dude, and who I had a misunderstanding of a lot of his issues early on. When he first got suspended, he had me blocked on Twitter initially. Randy Gregory did, before we ever knew or talked to each other, because I got too flippant. When the Philadelphia Eagles signed LeGarrette Blount, I said, just tell Randy Gregory he gets to hit a Philly Blount twice a year and he'll be back in no time.
That is strong.
And Randy reminded me of that the first time I talked to him. He goes, hey, I'm coming back, and Blount's not in Philly anymore, is he? And I was like, oh, you saw that? And I was like, my bad, and we made up over it. But at the time, that was a flipping joke. Like, gosh, what was that, 10 years ago? Like 8 years ago? It was a long time ago. But,
is that the closest relationship you have with a player? Was that like the tightest you've gotten?
Because
he was one of your buddies.
Yeah, he and I would catch up, like, you know, while he was... If he was on suspension or if he was coming back, I wrote one of his character letters to the league, like one of the
you ChatGPT'd it.
No. And that was before I was like actually like on the beat, so I didn't think it was any sort of a conflict or anything. But he and I were close. But yeah, I've had a couple different relationships like that have been close.
Well, I love the forgiveness that he showed you there.
He did. He showed me a lot of grace.
Okay.
Randy's a good dude.
What do you think about this suggestion here? As we talk about the issues in college football right now with storming the field, storming the court,
dude,
but especially in college football.
Softest thing.
You don't want to see that go away. You don't want to see it be penalized. You want to continue to see the field storming. No. I get that because it is fun. It's a college sports tradition.
Nico Harrison would try to outlaw field storming, I think.
Yeah, well, that is what Alabama athletic director Greg Brine is trying to do right now. And his suggestion is taking it to a level that I think would work.
Isn't it Greg Byrne?
Is it B-R-Y-N-E?
B-Y-R-N-E. It's not Brian. It's Byrne.
They pronounce that Byrne?
Yeah, that's not Brian.
That's the worst way to spell Byrne I've ever seen in my life. Hey, can you play the Izzy drop from earlier, Bobby's Mistake?
What?
Just that? To cleanse the palate.
That's not fair. I'm just saying.
He's trying to end the field storming in college football. He says, if we said that the home team, if they storm the field or the court, they're going to lose the game right then and there. That will stop it. Okay. So he's trying to, you basically have to forfeit the win. If you just had an incredible college football finish, your team just won, and now he's trying to say, if you storm the field, all of a sudden the dub becomes an L.
Does he not look like a guy who would come up with this policy?
Yes, he looks
like with his little picnic table sport coat, like the little red checkerboard thing there.
Heavy-handed lawmaker
his
guy. Just,
yeah, his little face he has.
This is going too far, I would say. But if the end goal is to, if college football is really adamant about stopping this, and college basketball as well, I mean, I think that would go a long way to accomplishing your goal there. Like college fans knowing that they will end up taking an L if they do that, I think they are even self-aware enough to say, okay, despite how drunk and rabid I am about the excitement because we just won, we can't turn this into an L.
And bro, so this was a post that went viral this week. Somebody found an obscure rule in the Major League Baseball rule book that is sort of like this. So, you know, you get people that storm onto the field and will try to evade security and different things like that all the time. There is a rule in Major League Baseball that if they are unable to catch you after 15 minutes, the home team forfeits the game.
That's a real
in
rule
in the Major League Baseball rule book.
15 minutes of a cat and mouse game, though, there's no way you're going to be able to outlast. So
this is my thought. When we go to Oxnard, if there's like a close race in the standings between the Angels and the Rangers, I think we have a duty to, as a station, like go on different sides of the stadium and we like scatter storm the field for the Angels and we just stay on there long enough that one of us survives 15 minutes and we help the Rangers in the standings by getting the Angels to forfeit that game. Because it's the home team has to forfeit. So if you storm the field and evade security for 15 minutes, the home team forfeits the game.
I think we just need to drive down to Houston a couple of times this season.
That's exactly. Just make a road trip. And we just...
maybe head up to Seattle.
Start running. Maybe you go up, ride the train around. Do they still have a little train up there? Like just as a distraction tactic. But I say you run around the field a little bit and we can help impact the standings. I like it.
I like it. We're going to have an army of guys that are prepared for this.
That's a bet payoff.
I mean, 15 minutes of having to run around, the huffing and puffing is going to be real.
What about that as a G-bag bet payoff? You have to go drive down to Houston.
Out there.
You have to drive down to Houston and storm the field. You know the problem is that if Broadus stormed the field and there was a female security guard, he'd be like, excuse me, ma'am.
I'm a Super Bowl champion.
Excuse me, ma'am. Can I just get by here?
Well, sorry about that Super Bowl ring. Let me get that out of the way for you. Hey, Arch Manning, he's reached the status of being a GQ basically centerfold. He is the subject of a GQ article right now, the Longhorns QB1. He's got the Red Bull deal going. He's making all sorts of NIL bank right now. And one of the things that he said is how he's had to change the way he goes about his business from taking care of himself standpoint now that he's at Texas and he sees all the just endless resources that these guys have when it comes to nutrition and just keeping the body right. But he mentioned in the interview that when he was in high school, he didn't have a nutrition plan at all, which is fair for pretty much all high school kids.
But not a Manning,
but,
right?
But I was thinking, like, you would think the Mannings would be a little bit more serious and dialed with it. But I kind of like the fact that they're like, hey, be a high school kid. So if you want to eat, like he says he did before games, Raising Cane's, root beer, or a large lemonade. That's what Arch Manning was consuming before he would play games in high school, which hits home for me because I went to Northwest and it was like Sonic and Chicken Express, which is still so phenomenal. Chicken Eat does not get the love that they deserve. Those tenders are out of this world. But that's what, I mean, most of the players would go before a Friday night football game, and you'd be seeing them at Sonic, you'd be seeing them at Chicken Express, that which is like probably, I mean, that would be on the list of worst things you would ever want to eat before an athletic event. But that's what Arch Manning was doing. He was eating Raising Cane's when he was in high school, and now he's obviously much more dialed than that, and he's staying away from the fried foods and whatnot. But I was curious, 877-881-1053, what was your pregame meal when you were growing up, when you were playing? What was it? Because Subway was always the thing that was just like the school, the fundraisers, the parents would come together, they pitch in, and then anybody can just basically have a turkey and cheese sandwich or whatever before games. But once we got to high school and we could drive ourselves, I mean, our best players are housing 7 chicken tenders and mashed potatoes and fried
were
okra.
Were they naked tenders or were they breaded?
No, breaded, dude. Like, you're talking about the last thing, you get the itis before kickoff. That's what you did in high school. And Arch Manning was no different. Raising Cane's before a game?
And see, you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Insane.
Hey, 817, remember when we were in high school, Eric, that Chickenese box combo was $5.
Yeah, dude. That was the good old days. Chickenese was a staple. I mean, so was Sonic. I got respect for both of them, but to me, that's a post-game situation. I was oftentimes so nervous before games, I wouldn't even really want to eat much of anything.
It has gone up. Do you think that's chicken tariffs? Is that what's causing that to go up, that it's no longer $5?
Well, we know that the egg situation is tough, so I'm sure that has to factor in a little bit.
Some of the answers here on the Fantex 940, chocolate milk. Oh, here's the perfect answer.
Chocolate milk before a game?
Here's the perfect answer. 469, Whataburger, number 5, plain and dry. Powerade, and then I'd go kick 50-yard field goals every Friday because you were money, like Vantage. Yeah, you tuck the dollar bills in there. Whataburger, that's the easy pregame meal. You got to have some Whataburger, or maybe you got to go have some Hurtado. Got to fill up on that.
Dude, see, I always looked forward to the post-game eating, and the Whataburger was a post-game
staple.
Dude,
this is everybody like coming in with Whataburger. Double meat Whataburger.
Before a game.
Hit it just right before JV basketball. Oh, yeah. People loading up on that protein, man. And the 214, triple cheeseburger from Whataburger. I was a D lineman. Yeah, it's the Whataburger, man.
Dude, we are getting so much Whataburger. We're getting so much Chicken Express.
You hear that, Joe? Whataburger, Whataburger, Whataburger.
Look at this. The greasiest item in all of fast food, the 724. Mine was tacos from Jack in the Box. Tacos from Jack in the Box. That's a 2 a.m. Hail Mary
You should
decision.
Just drink a cup of grease.
Pizza Hut buffet before game, says the 210.
They're eating the dogs.
682 grew up in Northeast Arkansas. We would go to a place called Couch's Barbecue. Free, they would get fried pies as well. I mean, these are before games. It is, I mean, dude, ooh. Who was it? I think Mozzie Smith is still one of these guys.
The candy guys?
I think Mozzie Smith is still a guy. He did the player profile on the pregame show this year, and I think he told Chris Arnold that I believe he eats some form of fried chicken before games, which, again, that is just that's jarring to me. But, yeah, I went to Northwest, and it was a lot of Sonic. It was a lot of chickeny and some Subway. But fried greasy foods before an outing, I did have before scrimmage one year. It's like a spring game scrimmage, and I did have Sonic, and I forgot that what I ordered was a spicy thing, and my stomach doesn't handle spicy. Mm. I was literally going from the field to the locker room in between series because the bubble guts had hit me so bad. And at one point, I had made a tackle on the running back, and I couldn't get up. And I was just laying there on top of him until he started pushing me, like, get off me, dude. I'm like, I am literally hurting so bad I made the worst decision of my life.
You had a Jimmy Butler situation on your hands?
Yeah, did Jimmy Butler? That's a good question.
Jimmy Butler messed his pants.
Okay, get to the fan cam. Carter's going to put this up here in a few minutes. Did Jimmy Butler crap his pants last night? We got a lot of NFL stuff to get to before we crosstalk with the KNC Masterpiece. That's next right here on the fan.
Missed by Steph on the flip. Rebound by Christie. Here's Kyrie Irving.
That's what he was doing, Kyrie Irving, all night long. 40-plus points, no assists. He was just getting buckets last night, doing what he needed to do for the Mavericks to get that win over the Warriors. And they were shorthanded in every possible way. They get out-rebounded like crazy because they got no bigs. Kessler Edwards is playing like 30-plus minutes. But this team fights. And I think Kyrie is really owning the role of responsibility right now to try and get this fan base back to some level of happiness.
Man, he's stepping up where management is falling short. And so he deserves a lot of credit for that because he has been it's wild to think, the most stabilizing factor for an organization right now is Kyrie Irving. If I would have told you that 3 years ago, no one believes it. Kyrie probably doesn't believe it. If you tell him 3 years ago, you are going to be just the steady, like, rudder that everybody just leans on, just like, man, this is Kyrie. He's keeping us on the straight and narrow right now.
Yeah, we're all surprised by it. We have some NFL stuff to get to, but yeah, I think Jimmy Butler was so surprised that there's allegations that he actually crapped his pants last night as the Warriors were wearing their all whites. It was a weird color combination for them last night. I didn't really enjoy it.
It's a weird color combination for Jimmy.
What is human fecal matter?
I mean, it looks like he got Paul pierced. I mean, there's really no other way around it. We have the clips here on the fan cam, thanks to
one
Carter.
One's wet and one's dry.
That's only one thing.
The evidence is pretty damning. I don't know what his excuse is going to be, but there is some discoloring to the backside of those white shorts for Jimmy Butler. I don't understand how you allow that to happen. How does a teammate not come up to you, tap you on the shoulder, and say, "Hey, why don't we take this thing into the locker? Okay, maybe a little wardrobe change."
The only thing I can think, I don't know, Gatorade or something in the seat that he sat in.
There was an NFL player this year. I forget which team he was on, but there was an allegation of him having an emergency number two situation, and he blamed it on sitting on Gatorade. But
I could see that.
You're messy.
Because, man, this is messy. Because I would think for it to come through the other side that much, it would have to look even messier than that. You know what I mean?
So are you alleging, like, you're going to believe the Gatorade report here?
Which is not a report. It's just a theory that I'm throwing out there. That was the report from the NFL player. But in this situation, yeah, I don't... Just change. I would think you would change your shorts. If it was that bad, that means that you had a massive mess on your hands, and I would think you would have changed your shorts.
Yeah, but he might have been just trying to just play it off like, "Oh, that wasn't a big deal. I'm not gonna sit here and dwell on this. I'm just gonna trust that everything's cool. I'm gonna trust that my teammate will come tap me on the shoulder if things are a little over the top back here."
That should be a G-bag bet payoff. You have to make it look like Jimmy Butler there.
Weird on that.
Because you've done the pee in the pants, right, Eric?
And that was real.
I cannot.
That was not Gatorade.
You did that.
That was not Gatorade.
I cannot believe you.
If it was, it was the warmest Gatorade of all time.
I gotta ask, how were you? I couldn't do it.
You're even too if pee I was, shy?
I wouldn't.
You wouldn't be able to bring yourself to do that?
I couldn't bring myself to do it. How did you do that?
I had to really lock in, and I had been waiting, like I didn't go pee for a while, so that it was one of those deals where, I mean, your body's just telling you it doesn't matter what you want to do.
How long did you have to stand in it?
It was a full segment.
How did you clean up? Did you go down to the shower on two?
No, there was no showering involved.
Wipe off, or
I brought a backup change of pants. The guys were courtesy enough to not make me sit in those pants for the remainder of the show.
Did you not like rinse your leg off, or did you just have remnants there?
I might have taken like a dry paper towel just to dampen things. You know, it's actually good for the skin,
bro.
According to reports.
You are more Portland than Dawson. Like you are Oregon.
Do people in
Max.
Oregon just pee their pants and just rock with it?
Oregon,
is that a thing?
They strike me as the type that like they wipe with leaves or something out there. Like that's Oregon.
That was one of the other things from the Arch Manning GQ article. He's gotten really into grounding these days. So every day after practice, your guy, Arch Manning Bob, takes his cleats off and his socks off, and he just walks the field to soak in the earth. And apparently his teammates make fun of him for it.
I'll take grounding over nail polish. So.
Caleb Williams, he was voted the most stylish in the NFL this year. There's actually the stud wide receiver for Alabama, Ryan Williams. He just got an NIL deal with a nail polish company. So how about Caleb Williams being a bit of a tastemaker here? That's actually good for big nail polish when it comes to sports, having a guy like Ryan Williams, because he's a dog.
Is that like an industry big nail polish?
He's certified. Nobody's questioning his toughness or his dominance. So if he's going to dip his toes, or I guess his fingers, into the nail polish waters, that's good for business if you're Caleb Williams and anybody else who wants to do this. So I guess that's taken on a life of its own.
I'm concerned. I see we've got I just got texted, and I'm concerned to see who. Okay, all right, all right. It's nobody yelling at us for having this conversation.
Oh, no.
That's just.
Your checking. Phone's getting hit up right now?
No, it was not about that. It's just I saw my phone light up as we were talking, so I was like, oh boy, hopefully we're not in trouble here.
All right, we're good. We'll shift gears here. That was shift with an F. And
until we talk about the microbial genome left behind tomorrow, when we talk about the love making for Valentine's Day.
We're doing a Valentine's Day bacterial love making segment tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Are you going to put that in the tease for tomorrow?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, we have some
real tease.
We have some NFL stuff to get to. Apparently, the Pittsburgh Steelers have made phone calls to the Jacksonville Jaguars and inquired about trading for Trevor Lawrence. Now, mind you, this is the Jags who have a new coach who is only there probably because he believes in Trevor Lawrence as an offensive mind, Mr. Duval himself, Liam Cohen. And keep in mind that the Jags don't currently have a general manager, so there's no one that could actually make that call unless the owner of the Jags just wanted to step in there and say, yes, I cannot wait to offload this Trevor Lawrence contract. The Steelers and their quarterback situation to me is one of the most fascinating storylines of the offseason. They are perpetually a quarterback away ever since they got the last remnants of Big Ben's career.
What if, and here's because he said he just took a job and maybe he's thinking, I want to be all in on Trevor Lawrence. I wouldn't have taken this job if I wasn't. What if he's all in on Mac Jones?
Oh my gosh.
What if he's a Mac Jones guy?
Then we need to question everything about Liam Cohen and what he stands for.
Aren't we already?
Dude. Yeah, but he at least has the, like, what he did with Baker Mayfield in the rushing attack for the Bucs was pretty impressive.
By the way, I'm not giving him a ton of credit for the Baker Mayfield thing. Everybody else is, but was that Canales already? Didn't Canales rescue him?
Yes, but there wasn't a drop-off, so you can at least appreciate you kept Baker Mayfield, and then you brought in a dynamic rushing attack featuring Rashad White and Bucky Irving, who was like a fourth-round pick as a rookie.
This is the seventh year in a row that he'll have a new job, Liam Cohen.
Yeah, he's a bounce-around guy.
Yeah.
College, NFL,
assistant receivers coach in 19 for the Rams. Then he was the assistant quarterbacks coach in 20 for the Rams. Then it was Kentucky, Rams, Kentucky, Tampa Bay, Jacksonville.
Yeah, he's kind of all over
the place. He's not proven himself to be very stable.
Maybe a little wishy-washy.
Yeah.
But there's, I would put it at 0% chance that the Jaguars are going to be trying to move on from Trevor Lawrence. But I do love the idea of Pittsburgh trying to capitalize on just the disaster that is the Jags right now. And, hey, you don't have a GM. Maybe your owner's dumb enough to take a deal right now and we can finally get a quarterback.
Look, the Justin Fields deal for Chicago was bad. Even if Justin Fields was not great, they didn't get enough back. That's where we got the...
Oh, the Bears?
Yeah, that's where we got the best and worst of the weekend clip of Will Chambers saying, I'm having a bad bleeping weekend. It was after they traded Justin Fields for nothing. So if Pittsburgh's got experience of people just giving them stuff for nothing, maybe they're like, we'll just ask about Trevor Lawrence.
Well, who would be your recommendation? If you're talking with Mike Tomlin right now and the Steelers, what are you doing at quarterback? Because I got the plan.
Russ? Probably
just run it back with Russ.
Probably at this point. And like, I mean, we'll see what happens in the draft and free agency.
Then you're just right where you were. You understand what that is. Hey, admirable job. Thank you, Russell.
But you also
Wilson.
Missed Russ early in the year. Like,
you have no chance at a Super Bowl.
Probably not.
Now, the Aaron Rodgers stuff has been floated around. Did you see what Pittsburgh Steelers safety Deshaun Elliott said?
I did not. Texas Longhorn Deshaun Elliott.
Yes. Yeah. He's an NFL tough guy. He's on the Steelers, and he left an Instagram comment about Rodgers joining the Steelers, and he said, leave his ass at the retirement home.
There we go, Deshaun.
So I don't think he will be welcomed into
grounding
the Steelers locker room.
I can read, though.
I like the idea of them. I mean, Kelly Stafford is getting frustrated with this Cooper Kupp trade and the Rams, and who knows what happens there. Do the Rams still want Stafford? If you're the Steelers, Stafford would be the no-brainer. If you can trade for him,
oh yeah,
I would be like, if I'm the Steelers, that would be priority number one.
He's the greatest quarterback of all time, according to Walchuk.
I have a lot more respect for Matthew Stafford than you do, but I mean, it's running back with Russell Wilson.
No, they're legit contenders. Probably if Stafford still doesn't have like a monumental drop off next year, they're contenders with Stafford.
Burrow, Stafford, Lamar Jackson in that division. I think you
Deshaun
actually
Watson.
You give yourself a real chance there if you're the Steelers, who again have just been a quarterback away for a while. And at some point you have to right that wrong. Figure out a way to get a legit quarterback here. And Sam Darnold's not that guy. We saw what Sam Darnold is. Awesome season. He will never have a season like that again. And ultimately it culminates in him getting sacked 9 times in a playoff game.
Yeah.
So don't sell me on a Sam Darnold deal. If you're Mike Tomlin and you're the Steelers, you have Super Bowl aspirations. Matthew Stafford obviously has the Super Bowl track record, and he's a guy, cold weather, you would imagine he could stand tall and deliver. So if I'm the Steelers, I'm trying to make a move for Matthew Stafford.
Not a bad idea.
But reports are they've been kicking around Jacksonville trying to see if they can make a move for Trevor Lawrence. I did want to squeeze this clip in here. This is, we know about the tush push. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Eagles, Jalen Hurts, and Saquon Barkley were on with Jimmy Fallon, soaking in the championship glory. And we watch with envy, but they got to the tush push, and apparently that's not what the Eagles players call it.
The first one was doing what people are calling the tush push. Yeah. Is that what you call it?
It's not what I call it.
It's not what you call it.
It's
no.
Not what I call it.
What do you call it?
You know, I'm not going to say what I call it, but it's
okay, not, but it's not.
You know, everybody is came up with their own name for it.
Yeah.
The brotherly shove, the tush push, all these different things. It's no. It's not that.
It's not that. No. Okay.
I was shocked too because when I got there, I known as the tush push, but I didn't know if that's what it'd be called. But I thought it was called that, and it's not called a tush push actually.
No. What is your role in the quote unquote tush push?
I think I have the easiest job, to be honest. I think I'm the one who pushes the tush.
I mean, the overlapping.
What do you think it's called?
With Fallon and company. I don't know. That's what I was trying to figure out. Why can't you tell us what it's called? Why is it some secret? It doesn't matter. Pound Everybody down. Knows when you're lining up to go do the tush push. It's not like it's, oh, we're going to shock them with the tush push here. Why can't they tell us what it is?
I like the idea of they just go like pound town on three. And then they go out there.
Yeah. Well, because there's kind of two pushes or tushes getting pushed here. It's the center and it's Hurts. Hurts is pushing the centers, and then Barkley is pushing. It's the double tush push, really.
Train gang.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. All right. Let's go ahead and cross talk with the KNC Masterpiece next on the Fan. All right. Cross talk with the KNC Masterpiece. Friendly reminder: Saturday, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Myself, Eric Chiafalo, with Zach Wolchuk and Brian Broaddus doing a live Love of the Star from Hurtado in Dallas. Their grand opening. Ooh. So would love to be hanging out with the Tolos. 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Barbecue, football. That's what we do, ladies and gentlemen.
And I can just show up for free?
Yes. Yeah, for free. You can show up.
You better show up like I'm going to, though, since it's a Love of the Star recording. You need to show up in Fire Eric and Zach t-shirts.
That's true. Because we stole.
Because I got fired from Love of the Star for them.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, it was a decent
You're not
trade.
Doing Love of the Star
I didn't
anymore?
Get fired. I quit it. But but still,
it was like a
you
quit fire.
Like McCarthy quit? Or
no, I quit like the only time Brian could ever record was 9 o'clock at night. And I was like, this isn't going to work. Our schedules aren't matching up anymore.
Gotcha.
Did you guys feel good last night with the Mavs getting a victory and Luka being minus 19 and complaining to referees and the Lakers losing to the Jazz?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it'll work out, but Luka's 2-for-2 and sucking in games for the Lakers. But I was glad that the Mavericks won and Kyrie went off, and we were like, who needs a player over 6'7"?
Yeah, one of my favorite highlights from the Lakers game was Luka thinking he got fouled and complaining so hard that every other player on the Lakers thought he was fouled, so they all stopped. Meanwhile, the Jazz are in transition, easy 2-point bucket. It was fantastic, man.
I didn't get much of the Luka game. I checked in on the Mavs game, though, and I was pretty happy with watching a lot of small ball there. That was fun. That's a fun style until you go up against a team that has something bigger than you.
That's the only option we got.
It is. It's, I mean, what else can they do?
I mean, so. Kessler Edwards, right?
I didn't watch any of it.
not a second?
No. He's out.
Kyrie, 40-plus points, 0 assists. He was just like, I am here to get buckets. I'm going to put the team on my back tonight.
Who did you want him to assist the ball to?
That's a great question.
Okay.
Max Christie?
That white curly-haired guy with the bright shoes?
Ule Blob?
No, I don't know what it is.
Ule Blob. It
definitely wasn't Hardy. Hardy was actively trying to lose the game for us last night, I feel like. But, yeah, the Mavs get the victory. And Kyrie Irving is – are you guys buying the conspiracies about the Lakers color schemes that are now all over his Twitter account?
Have you seen this, Mike?
No, what is
it? Okay, hold on. I'm going to show Mike.
Oh,
I want to see if he buys into this because Mike is always – he's still about conspiracy theories. Kyrie changed his Twitter profile, and the color scheme for his background picture and his regular is Lakers
God,
colors
it's
now.
Purple and yellow. Holy
okay.
He changed his stuff.
What does it say up top?
It says, I stand on the side of liberating all oppressed people, which people are saying okay. That's a message to Mavs fans.
Oh.
All right.
In Laker colors.
But do you think Lakers colors, do you buy that's a wink to everybody? Like, ooh, I'm going to go to the Lakers.
I don't know Kyrie at all. I think, in a way, he can be a complicated person to try to understand.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
More hidden messages in that header. Or the Kendrick Lamar halftime
Kendrick
show.
Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, my gosh.
There's still
hey, you know, this and this came up the other day. We played the Stephen A. clip, and I don't think Sean didn't bring it up with y'all, and I didn't hear if Eric weighed in on it in the afternoon. Stephen A.'s point. Did you hear his point about Serena Williams?
No. Oh, yeah. We talked about this.
Yeah, where he says that Serena being up there and like, ooh, I'm going to get back at my ex. I'm dancing up here. Stephen A. said, if my wife wanted to go do that, I'd say, well, then go be with him. Like, if you're that focused on him that you got to show up on national TV for, like, your revet, like, you're clearly hung up on him for something.
But didn't she say, like, she was doing it for Compton?
So she said it was that. She said it was, she says that it was more about she had done something at the Olympics, got hell for it, and was more just like, all right, here I am embracing it now in this opportunity. But clearly Kendrick had her up there for something bigger. But either way, like the thought was, because when I first heard Stephen A say it, I was like, that seems a little extreme. But then the more I thought about it, I was like, if Kristen was like, oh, I really want to pay back this ex, then I'm like, okay, why do you even care at this point?
Yeah.
Like, why is that a deal for you?
No, I kind of see your point, and I'm like, so how much have you been thinking about this?
Right, like why are you still
between,
like,
love and hate kind of deal?
Yeah, you're still clearly, you've got some sort of aggressive emotion tied up in this person.
Because, Eric, you know the opposite of love is apathy. So if you just didn't care, you just wouldn't be like...
You know, they say jealousy is just love and hate at the same time.
Ooh.
Drake said that, actually.
Of course he did.
He said probably, it on Over My Dead Body.
Yeah, he's reciting those words constantly for the last few days, I imagine. Okay, so we were talking earlier, Arch Manning has become more professional and more disciplined now that he's at UT.
Because he's changed his eating regimen.
He's changed his eating regimen. He used to eat Canes before every game in high school. What was y'all's pregame meal growing up and in high school? Because Chicken Express and Sonic were at the top of the list for me and my buddies. And I look back like, why the heck would we do that?
We would go to Subway. Everybody would get a foot-long, like, chicken breast sandwich was what we did. But one year when during football season, we were all kind of like, we'd go to Luby's. The coach would take the whole team to Luby's. We'd load our plates up, and then we'd go play football. We stunk at football. But
because y'all all were just,
I don't know,
being weighed down by Jell-O and fried chicken.
Win platter for the win!
But one day, I don't know why. I have no clue why. I suggested super salad. I was like, yeah, they got healthy salads and they got soups and they got this bread stuff. They got all sorts. They got everything we need. We were so dead by the middle of that game because we had nothing. Nobody had anything left.
No, no carbs.
Yeah, we were just like completely done. I was like, I mean, that was a bad idea.
Before basketball games, we would go to my house. Sterl, Bill, and Sean would come over.
Of course.
And
what was the first name?
Sterling.
Oh, okay.
He played at Tulane. And
just went in the Hall of Fame.
Did he?
Sterling Sharp.
Sterling Sharp, yeah. And then Bill ended up playing at UTA. And my mom would make like big spaghetti and meatballs and like garlic bread for us. So we'd play some pool, eat, and then go back up to Duncanville or get on the bus and go play a game for baseball. A lot of times I'd go with my grandparents and we'd go to Luby's in Duncanville.
So the cafeteria was killing the pregame.
That was a hot spot.
Ryan's,
now, Spurs, at what age did you know you had professional potential?
In ninth grade, I pitched against Duncanville's varsity. They were number one in the nation, and they were preparing. They lost in the first round to Arlington Martin. It was like a huge upset, and Arlington Martin ended up winning state with Ben Grieve, Blank, who played in the major leagues. So I pitched against them and went 9-up, 9-down. Now, I wasn't pitching against their best players like Chad Allen, who played in the major leagues, and Dave Gibraltar. But after that game, like a week later, I got a letter from the Atlanta Braves because there are a lot of scouts there watching practice. Ooh. That was really the fun part about being at Duncanville. So when we were practicing basketball, whether it was Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, I'm sorry, I'm forgetting all the coaches, but all the coaches would be at our practice. So practices were intense at Duncanville. And then when we were playing baseball, we'd always have a lot of times we'd have professional scouts there or college recruiters there watching our practices because we were so loaded in talent. That made it really like practice wasn't, it felt weird to have practice. And when nobody was there to watch us practice, we might've been a little bit lazy at times because we're like, well,
like, did you take diet like super serious once you realized you had pro potential? Were you like, oh crap, I can't eat like this?
No, I ate bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the nature of the beast.
At that age, you can't.
At that age, that's all. I mean, you're not thinking about anything else. I like the pregame pasta stuff, though. You know, a little carb load action. But the fried food stuff is what's crazy to me. Arch Manning, Canes. tearing it up. Okay, what's coming up on the program today,
boys? So right out the gate, we've been beating around the bush about this for a while. Let's talk about the Rangers bullpen and specifically who can close any of these games. And at noon,
because Kevin, we are the baseball show of record.
Facts.
It's up for debate.
And always will be.
Oh.
Now and forever.
Right? You heard me.
Don't get it twisted.
I got 9 shows left.
Wow.
It's my last show.
I heard Corey yesterday trying to fight you on that number.
I don't know how to count. I forgot he had days off.
Tomorrow I have off. Next Thursday and Friday I have off.
Okay. Well, we look forward to it. The KNC Masterpiece next right here on The Fan.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme, from serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.